Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Mark from Guitar Nerds here, letting you know what's going on this week's Patreon episode. To be honest, this week's Patreon episode is one of the best we've ever recorded. And I mean that sincerely. I really enjoyed this week. We talk about a question from a Facebook user, Robin, who was talking about hype and gear that we have bought that was super hyped and then has not really lived up to expectations. And we spiral off into a whole chat about the marketing cycle for guitar products and which products have avoided that kind of hype trap, which products have lasted and are now key legacy products that should be on your board. If you want to hear it, it's about half an hour long, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. That's patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this morning by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
Continuing our run of Matt joining us from Japan, podcasting very, very early.
It's not that early.
It's quite early. It's 28 minutes past 8, which considering we normally podcast at 28 minutes past 8 in the evening.
That's true.
This does feel quite crushingly early.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I don't feel as bad as Joe Branton right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely...
Did you know there was an 8 o'clock in the morning?
This does feel weird. I mean, I woke up, you know, at whatever, 6:45, and it was all dark, and I thought I was in the Upside Down. I've never experienced this before. Normally, I'm still up at this point.
And if it's dark when you wake up, it's just that you're still blind drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you
but
thought
I'm
you...
sober and awake early.
It's painful.
Is this what you guys experience every day?
Yeah.
Because it is awful.
Yeah.
You this guys is... are missing out.
I woke up this morning with the cat licking my eyelid, so that was a nice little alarm clock.
No, that was me.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot you were staying over. Ella is away at the moment, so, that's, you know, the bed's open if you want it. How is everyone... Apart from it being very early.
Yeah, fine. Whatever.
I feel fine. Sorry. I had a relatively early night last night. Yeah, feeling good.
Matt, no, it's not obviously not early for you. It's early evening there.
Well, it's 5:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, right. Well,
but it's been a lovely day.
Good.
15 degrees, you know. It's a nice, mild British summer day.
Is it going to be 15 degrees here today then? Because that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, no,
that's
12
how
hours
works.
Later.
I tell you what the weather is. I'll give you the lottery results tonight, remember? You know, so you can go and buy the lottery tickets.
You're not supposed to
put... I'm 9 hours ahead.
If only you were still there in January, Matty, and you could tell us what the Gear of the Year results were before we've actually done the podcast. That'd be fantastic. It made things a lot easier and the podcast a lot shorter. So loads and loads of stuff happening this week. Obviously, Matt's here. We've got some, talking of Gear of the Year, we've had some wonderful stuff turned up. If you are on the Facebook group, you would have seen that we've had guitar deliveries from Chapman Guitars and Fidelity Guitars. There's some other bits and pieces as well. And I brought them along this morning for you guys to try out. What are your first impressions?
I really like that Fidelity. I think it's very nice. I like it more than I remembered liking it at the show. I think that's because I played a few when we were at the London International Guitar Show, I should add. I think I played a couple whilst we were there, and I think one of them had like a real wizard
it really
thin
did.
neck, and I just it really put me off. I can't handle those sorts of necks. And the one that we've got here doesn't have that neck, and it's really nice.
They'll basically make whatever you want in terms of neck. But yeah, the one of the guitars that they had at the show, which happened to be the first one that we picked up, had basically the thinness of a wizard neck, but not the width. Because a wizard neck obviously is, you know, more erring towards that kind of wide profile. But it was like regular kind of Fender width, but the shallowness of a wizard neck, and it just felt so small.
Yeah, it was very strange. I can understand that there is certainly a demand for that sort of neck, but it's not from me.
No.
And I think it really did cast a shadow on my ongoing, and I realise that it's out of order me saying that, but just the first impressions of it was just like, this is bad, I don't care about this. And actually, having tried this one that we've got now, I wish I'd picked that one up at the show, because it's fantastic.
I can't remember the last time I picked up a really good UK made guitar, so I was...
What about Gordon Smith?
Oh yeah, I guess so.
You love Gordon Smith.
I guess so, no, that is true.
They are still made.
Yeah, they are still made
in England, aren't they?
But yeah, I thought the fidelity was absolutely cracking. I was the one that we had here. I was pleasantly surprised to find out had a £1,500 price tag, because I think all of the
something
features...
like that. I can't actually remember the total price.
Okay, well, I think I think it feels, looks, plays, and its features are akin to a £2,000 guitar by sort of a larger brand. So I loved everything about it, sort of from the tarnished hardware, locking tuners, unique chunky, but like really unique bridge. I love that everything down to like the control buttons doesn't look stock. Nothing is nothing is the same as a Fender or Gibson or something like that. Everything is really different and interesting about it. Love the pickups. What did we say the pickups were? Mojo.
Yes.
Yeah, Mojo. There's a so I'm just on the site now.
I think the exact guitar
1799. Yeah, this the one that we've got here is 1799.
Right.
Up on the website. It is where are we, pickups, electrics. So there's a Mojo Firebird size gold foil in the neck, and a humbucker sized Mojotron blade in the bridge, so like a Gretsch style pickup.
Cool. Well, I thought attention to detail was great on the guitar, really consistent, really good.
Does it say what the body's made out of on there?
Swamp ash,
cool. Because
with a torrified swamp ash top.
There we go. So it is quite heavily figured, which I assume is what that torrified means. I assume that's some sort of aging, not artificially aged, but you know, like a different piece of wood. But yeah, it looks great. Obviously, the finish is going to divide opinion because it is relict and it is quite heavily relict. But it plays really, really nicely. Wenge neck, as Jay clarified last week.
Lovely inlays as well. Really unique inlays.
Yeah, just kind of hanging over the edge of the fretboard rather than you know, just regular dots or whatever. Yeah. They're super cool. And we had a Chapman ML1 Pro arrive as well.
Totally cool.
Through neck,
which I thought was really... I didn't realise it was through neck when you sort of sent the pictures.
Yeah, you showed the picture and you kind of went, "Yeah, it's nice." And then, of course, you being the kind of oddball that you are, that kind of thing really appeals to you.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. Through neck, sort of big, chunky.
It's really,
you know,
chunky.
Like, yeah, I thought it was great. I think it's perfect, like, metal machine. So I really like it. Do you know what I really like about them? I love that they have the, like, bear in mind, the one we've got is kind of like that super strat shape, but thicker. I love that they still have like an angled tele headstock, a reverse tele headstock, even on the sort of strap versions. I think that's a really cool little feature.
That's one of my favourite things about the Chapmans, actually. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I love the reverse headstock. I love a reverse strat headstock. Nice little feature. So yeah, we're going to be assessing those. Go on, Matt.
Is it one of the Pro series or one of the standard
Pro? Yeah, ML1 Pro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so go on.
We had the baritone for demos, which was just like absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
just one of the nicest guitars.
Yeah, me and Matt had that for quite a few of the pedal demos that we did, and yeah, I agree. I think the Beer baritone is the jewel in the Chapman line at the moment.
Yeah,
like a really great guitar. Love the matte finish on it. I love the pickup choices in the baritone, and just the look. I love like the look of those modern like Telecaster shapes, but with a modern twist.
Yeah,
I think they get less cheesy than the Telecaster is such a non-cheesy body shape in comparison to the Strat.
Yeah,
and it means that you can get away with those sort of more metally finishes, and it still looks tasteful enough that I'm into it.
Yeah, and also like Tele variations just tend to be a little less, like you say, a little less cheesy. Whereas you see like a Super Strat or Strat, and it's kind of like
Yeah,
I see what they've done here. So, yeah, I mean, we've got the ML1 Pro, but obviously we'd be open to considering the Baritone instead of. So we'll give this a go. This is what Chapman has submitted, but if we really like the Baritone, I guess it makes sense to maybe consider that as well. So,
just having a quick look back through our history, the Ghost Fret, when we did Gear of the Year 2015, that was in the. We gave that the fifth best guitar of the year.
Well, there we go.
So it'd be cool. It'd be cool if this, because I don't think there was anything in from Chapman last year, was
there?
Don't
think so. I think the reason the Ghost Fret was in, because obviously Matt was working at Anderton, so we had a bit of time on one of those.
Yeah. The Ghost Fret is the, like, explorer-y type one.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Pointy-ish explorer. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. Chapman, maybe a couple guitars up for consideration.
This year, they redid their entire line.
So
they literally have every single guitar they make is a potential for Gear of the Year, because they're all this year.
Yeah.
I think it's just the quality of that World Guitars Factory again.
Definitely.
You know, they've really spent time making sure that they're, you know, perfect.
Yeah. I think, yes, when you're back, Matty, you need to try these two guitars out, and we need to get your thoughts on them as well.
Sweet.
Talking about guitars with potential, Joe, you've been looking at one of the most bonkers out there things that I've seen recently. Tell us about the Sensus guitar, right?
Yeah, the Sensus. Yeah,
the Musecaster.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks a bit musy.
Oh, I just thought it was pretty cool.
I wonder
cool.
why you like it. It's your favourite band.
I just thought it was quite a cool sort of interesting application. Actually, it would be interesting to see kind of what more information comes out on it, because at the moment they're keeping it very they're showing you what it does, not how it does it. So and they're all very performance based pieces. So I'm just waiting for some content to come out where they show sort of the actual functionality of the instrument.
Well, the video you shared was from, like, I went and did some sort of digging on the website. That video is like 2 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, they haven't done anything for like almost a year. And it's like the same performance piece over and over again. And you think, oh, that's just like, you know, how does it actually do it? Because recently I saw something from a company called, I think, GTC, called the RevPad.
Right.
But has the same sort of sensor, but it feeds wirelessly to a multi effects.
Right.
Was that a Kickstarter?
Maybe.
I seem to remember that there was something like that. That was a Kickstarter. Maybe I'm.
It has a wireless chaos pad that links to a multi effects.
So this,
the thing is, with all this technology, it's so expensive.
Yeah,
like that rev pad's £1,000.
Wow.
It's like,
My favorite thing about the Sensus is that it's internet ready.
Good. Is that?
I saw it was a smart guitar. We should probably explain it rather than just talk about the fact that we've watched a dumb video.
So it's like a modern take on a traditional acoustic guitar that features a sort of touchpad that where you can make various hand motions in order to create different synth sounds using faders, a touchpad, something that kind of looks like it operates like a D-beam.
Yeah. So like a light sensitive.
Yeah, like a light sensitive thing. And then on the neck, it looks like on the back of the neck, it has a full range slide sort of thing. There's basically some
like a ribbon
of,
controller.
Yeah, yes, exactly that. On the back of the neck, so you can sort of, you can have a sort of synth accompaniment to your playing.
Okay.
Based on...
So you slide up and down the neck,
exactly.
Basically, and it will do a trigger a string section or something.
Exactly. So it's just completely bonkers. And, you know, it has the potential to be awful, but it has the potential to be
no.
great.
No.
Yeah. It could be great. But But, I mean, I don't want to get hung up on the sensors because I think it's a cool sort of weird thing, but let's see if anything happens with it.
I didn't realise this video that you put up was a year old.
Yeah,
I thought it was like you were...
Oh, no, it's not cutting edge. I was just like, this is cool, it's a bit weird. But there have been some other cool things that that I've been checking out this week.
Okay.
A load of cool new Fender custom shops have turned up at work. Have you seen...
No, I don't follow you on any social media.
Okay, so there's a we got a Olympic white over pink paisley strat, which might be the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm into that.
And we've just got through Jay all the FSRs, all these baked ash FSRs.
Yeah.
Have you seen these?
Yeah, I have.
They look great. So there's a Tele, a Strat, and a P-Bass.
The P-Bass look really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Have actually seen that.
They look cracking. All with those anodized scratch plates, single-ply scratch plates. They look cracking. It's actually a really good time for Fender at the moment. Like, it's the first time in ages a delivery of Fender stuff has turned up, and I've been like, oh, all this stuff is really cool.
Yeah, really exciting new things.
These are actually, apologies to our American friends out there, these are actually Europe exclusive.
Oh, are they?
They
is
are.
It, is this the first thing that you did when you busted through that Fender door? You
it's
were
me.
Like,
I walked
ash.
In and I just went, roasted ash!
Just in your interview, you're like, roasted ash!
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Like, he's the man for the job.
That's right. No, no. Yeah, they are they're Europe exclusive. My understanding is that the... because we spec them up in the Europe office, and it's not me, but it's my understanding that the US were like, no, oh, these are quite cool. So I think there might be some coming in the US, but you should check them out. If you they do look, I think out of all of them, actually, the P-Bass is the one.
The P-Bass is great.
It's fantastic.
Sure it the Strat 100%, but the Tele, I think, looks great as well.
The necks are roasted as well, aren't they?
That's right. But yeah, so fully neck, board.
I assume that's maple.
Body.
Rather than ash, it's not going to be an ash.
Yeah.
But yeah, they look absolutely cracking. What a wonderful range of sort of good looking guitars for. I mean, they're I think they're around £1,800 a piece, but they are
so
a super.
It's money, but I mean, obviously, the first thing you want to be doing is taking those stupid pickup covers off the
off the P-Bass.
Off the P-Bass.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No.
What happens when you know you actually need to play as opposed to just tickle though, which is what you do.
It's fine. That's fine. You just get used to it. You work around it.
Like Fingers Branton.
Anyway, do you know what else I did?
Go on. You've been busy this week.
Yeah. This was good. Well, I tell you what, this took some time and some working out. I have pitted a 50 watt Marshall Plexi against 50 1 watt Marshall battery amps to see what was that. It was really difficult to do. Like, the amount of cables I had to write off. Stock to sort of to do this.
I bet there's so much hum.
How did you do this?
Okay, so I ran a guitar into an ABY out into two 36 channel mixing desks, and then from there I ran out into 50 amps. But of course I had to use XLRs out of the desk. So I had to get jack converters at the other end of 50.
You know, you can just get XLR to jack cables.
Yeah, we didn't have enough.
Right. Okay.
So I had to get these converters and then run them into...
No expense spared the new Jack Vision VA.
The hardest thing was actually stacking 50.
I saw that you basically made some sort of frame from cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was one of the mixing desks.
What was the verdict then? Without spoiling the video, which sounded better?
hang on one sec. Mark Packham just asked the question, what sounded better? 1 50 watt Marshall Plexi or 50 MS2 battery amps?
I'll have you know that most of the guitar on that first Foo Fighters record, which is the best one, is recorded on a Marshall MS2. So
what?
Close mic'd with an SM57.
What?
Indeed. That is a lot of...
Isn't.
It is, 100%. A lot of the guitar on that first record is that setup. Exactly. An MS2 with a 57 on the speaker. So,
well,
before you get too, before you dive in on me, people have actually used it. I know other bands as well that have used exactly that setup.
So, I think the issue was it was a 1987 reissue version 2 Plexi. Like, it's a very good...
That's a proper amp.
It's like, it's a really proper amp. And I think the problem we were finding is that these 50 amps all running on battery, all very close together, with converters running. There was quite a lot of cabling going on, so there was a bit of noise in the room. We did have some trouble talking over them.
Really, just because it's
it's not just a rumbling.
And when you think about the like the single amp, you could just turn that off when you want to talk, put it in standby or whatever, or you know, turn it off entirely. Yeah. With the 50 amps, the last thing you want to be doing is like turning each one. Yeah. You know.
Also, you ran them off batteries.
Yeah.
surely that's like painting the fourth bridge. Like by the time you've turned them all on, the first one has run out of battery.
Yeah, yeah, it was tricky.
Quickly change this battery. Oh no!
You know how like Jimi Hendrix used to move around the stage to get different tones because of how loud his amp was and how feedback worked on stage. It was amazing to see how interactive feedback got off of 51 watt.
Oh, that's cool.
Amps. So you could really like move the guitar around and you got this.
Did you turn them all the way up?
Yes. Right. Yeah, of course. On the overdrive channel, because you get two channels on an MS2.
Of course.
So on the overdrive channel with the volume the whole way up on all 50.
I'm actually quite looking, despite the fact you're in it, I'm quite looking forward to this video.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good. And do you know what else? I ran it through my new guitar.
Which is?
A Sterling St. Vincent.
Ah, welcome to the family.
Hey.
So they only do it in blue, right?
They only do it in blue.
Okay. And why have you bought this?
Because it turned up damaged.
Okay. So you were like, it's like me.
So it's super. So it's super cheap. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll get it. And there are just none. There are no Sterlings. It's such a weird thing because that you think the Sterling version of guitars are brought in to not only be affordable versions, but certainly in the case of something like the St. Vincent, which is as heavily limited edition as it is, they're brought in to be the one that's always available. Yet the UK can't get hold of any.
Really?
Like, there are none. That was the only one.
Maybe they're just too good and people are just, selling them out.
I assume. There must be somewhere where people are just...
Well, I mean, I assume it's just in the US. Demand must just be so massive in the US.
I guess so. I expect to see them maybe around more, you know. But then I guess, you know, on the internet and stuff. But I really haven't. But regardless, yeah, it was the only one. It was the only one we got, and it's the only one we can get for sort of.
So you bought it instead of let the good people of the British public have their hands on this fabulous guitar.
Sorry.
Joe's just there, just with a little chisel, just like dinging it through the box. Oh no, this one's damaged, boys. I'm gonna have to buy this one. Sorry.
Well, it's very good.
Did that come out this year?
No, it came out.
Was it NAMM this year?
No. The Sterling version came out last year, or maybe even the year before. I think it was last year.
I think it was on our list of.
Because it came out last year. It was supposed to be released in black and blue.
Yeah.
But the blue one is the only one that's materialised.
Right, okay. Well, there we go. And one of them's ended up in your hands.
Yeah, it has.
The capable hands of Joey B.
It's excellent.
Coming to a Gumtree page near you soon.
Indeed, yeah. And Joe just, you know, going away with the swag bag full of cash.
No. I've decided to spend all my savings on guitars.
Good, great, absolutely brilliant.
So this is just one.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't have much in my savings, so it's going to be fine.
I'm surprised there's any, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, me too. But I'm going to spend it all. In the next little while, I'm going to be buying loads of guitars.
I just, instead of Scrooge McDuck diving into a swimming pool of money, I just imagine you diving into a swimming pool full of vodka Red Bulls that has a couple of guitars floating in it, and you just, you know, like the end of Titanic, just holding onto a P bass in this sea of booze.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Imagine how sticky that'd be.
J Cross, can we have a palate cleanser, please? This week you've been checking out the Cower Canyonero.
Well, I
Canyonero.
I saw this come up on my Instagram feed, and I sent it round to everyone. And my word, what a bonkers looking guitar!
So good.
I mean, so essentially, so Cower. Cower are making quite a lot of waves, I think, in the sort of boutique guitar manufacturing world. You know, they're flying a little under the radar. I don't. Does anyone stock them in Europe or in the UK?
I don't know. I only know about them by proxy because of things like the 60 Cycle Hum podcast, where they talk about it all the time. I think those guys have both got one, maybe. Right. And so it's the kind of thing that I hear about on podcasts, but I haven't seen it in any shops here in the UK. Maybe you can only buy direct. Maybe there's not even any shops in the US. But the guitars look fantastic.
Yeah. And so the Canyonero...
Canyonero.
Sort of flagged up on my Instagram feed, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So if you're familiar with Caro guitars, they all have a certain shape to them. They're kind of like an offset. I think they all look a little bit similar. Generally, if I see one, I'm like, right, that looks like a Cowa.
Yeah.
And it tends to be. But the Canyonero is a, I don't know, maybe it's coincidental. It looks quite a lot like a 6120.
It's sort of Gretschy.
It's sort of Gretschy with the orange finish and the gold Bigsby and hardware. I'm sure it's a coincidence. Anyway, the thing about it is all the... So just imagine that, a... 6120 in orange, like a Chet Atkins type guitar, but all the inlays are Simpsons references.
Yes.
So the fifth fret is the Canyonero from
Canyonero.
Canyonero.
Is that? You've also got the Stonecutters.
Yeah.
Symbol on the seventh fret. On the ninth fret, I think it is. You've got Blinky the three-eyed fish.
Yes.
And then on the actual pickguard itself, as opposed to it being, you know, a white falcon or a penguin, it's Krusty wearing a cowboy hat. It's so mad.
Like, I love it.
I can't see how they're going to get away with this.
Well, surely if they only... they'll probably get a cease and desist from Matt Grady.
I think they're only making one.
Well, exactly.
I think this is it. I think it's a one-off.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure most of their guitars are a one-off, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what I'm saying is if they get a cease and desist, they'll go, fine, that was the plan all along, because we're only going to make one. So, I absolutely love this. You know, Canyonero, one of the best Simpsons episodes, and Cow guitars seem excellent, although I've not had the chance to try one myself.
I mean, I'm looking at...
Stop. I've got a plan for later.
Okay.
Later on in the podcast, we will utilise that.
Is it going to be...
Don't spoil it. Exactly.
I don't watch The Simpsons.
We'll use it later.
9 years old. But.
So, I bet you are more of a Rick and Morty fan. I can see you.
100%.
You can see you going, oh, you know what's funny? Pickle Rick.
I think it is.
You're basically
funny.
The Pickle Rick of people.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I, really. I just know it's an annoying thing on the internet, much like Joe Branton. I think we can all agree that the Canyonero is super cool. And if he can get away with making more, then, you know, just send one over Guitar Nerd's way.
Canyonero.
Indeed.
I was looking at their sold gallery of some of the guitars they've made. The Firebird they do is just one of the best looking guitars ever, with three TV Jones pickups in it.
Is it the Phoenix?
The Banshee.
Banshee, that's of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other mythical
birds.
But
they've done birds. One in like purple sparkle with a silver top. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple months back or so. I read a little explanation from Doug Cower about the Banshee, and they've got some agreement with Gibson that says, you know, this is different enough that you can, that we're not going to give you any grief for it.
Right,
I seem to remember that there needs to be, I think I heard someone else say this, there needs to be like 9 points difference.
The first one is fifth fret. You've got the Canyonero. That's what I want. I want one of the Firebirds, because the Gretsch thing, you know, it looks great, but it doesn't really appeal to me. It's the perfect Canyonero guitar.
Yeah.
But imagine if they did one of the Firebirds with those inlays and a little Krusty on there. But except for Krusty, I'd want it to be Super Nintendo Chalmers. It's Super Nintendo Chalmers body, but his head is a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's what I would want.
They are quite expensive, though, the Banshees.
Yeah.
How much?
It's a shame they're so far away. In California, we won't get to see them in January. They might be... Are they at NAMM?
I assume they'll be at NAMM.
Maybe. If they're not exhibiting, we might even get to meet the man himself and request our Super Nintendo Chalmers Firebird. We will see. With that, we should dive headfirst into a big old swimming pool full of booze-shaped amount of...
news!
How do you shape a swimming pool
with news? You literally... And when Guitar Nerds finally returns the millions of dollars that we're expecting it to, I'm going to get a swimming pool in the shape of the word news. Big, bold font. The letters are joined up, squashed together. That's your swimming pool.
Right, okay.
With the little islands like in the middle of E and stuff that you can jump off. Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
That doesn't sound particularly useful.
Why?
For like swimming lengths and stuff.
Because you just go up and down the N and then the W and then the S.
It's all about chicanes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
Exactly. So first up this week, a big announcement from PRS, who have unveiled the 2018 SE models.
Yeah, they've basically, well, like we were saying with Chapman completely relaunching their entire guitar range this year, they've basically relaunched the entire SE range. It seems, with some very, very cool additions, starting with probably the biggest news for Lefty fans. There's a Lefty SE model now.
That is unbelievable. I'm so glad they're doing this. This is an incredible range. But like the PRS, the ultimate like Lefty haters brand.
Yeah.
What you can only get a Lefty in custom shop. I mean, I can't imagine being ignorant enough to not make left-handed guitars in a major company. But
I'm sure there was a point where you couldn't even get custom shop version.
I think you can only do a private stock.
Thing I've ever heard.
All right, mate. Well, they're rectifying.
They're doing it.
Yeah,
I know, which is great. Like, I think this is really cool.
I guess the thing is, though, it's just, well, I guess it's just manufacturing and demand. And I guess, you know, they're probably just waiting for the demand to be high enough for them to justify doing it.
How would they know if you don't make it? Yeah, 1 in 10 people are left-handed. I mean, most other guitar companies have worked this out.
It's chicken and egg, though, isn't it? Yeah. You know, how do you introduce that into the market? If you're doing no guitars, then lefties are looking elsewhere for guitars.
Yeah.
Then if you produce one and no one buys it, why would you continue to produce them?
I'm not sure about that, because when I was working in the shop, and I'm sure, Matty, you felt the same, people come in all the time.
Yeah, sure.
And ask about it.
But then I don't think when you say it's a dumb decision, I think these companies are probably smarter than us.
Yeah, no,
and
you're
have
right.
actually
you're
thought about
sure.
it.
Sure, they've probably done market research. I mean, how many dentists are left-handed?
Well, I mean, not on the SEs, though. They PRS often get labelled as the dentist guitar, but the SEs are a real workhorse, you know.
I think the reason they're probably pushing the SEs more is, I mean, when I stopped working in a store, the PRSs were getting to be... I mean, they were always expensive, and I remember a time they were more expensive than Gibson, and then Gibson were more expensive, but PRS were then starting to creep back up to the point where they were becoming like at least $3,500 per guitar, like just for a basic custom, custom 24 built in America that wasn't like a satin finish or anything. So I think it's good that they're redoing this entire line, because I think many people are just like, it is just too expensive.
Well, I think this year there's been a massive focus on SE anyway. We had those Exotics, which was a range of probably 6-8 models, all at like $799, including hollow bodies, including baritones.
Yeah.
In really
unique
finishes.
It looks like they're keeping that going, because they are doing Exotic veneer as a standard model for next year, which is one of the other ones that they're doing. Introducing the SE Standard. So now they've got bound fingerboards, new pickups, the 8515S pickups. I think the fretboard binding's a really nice touch, actually. New logo design and just some sort of minor tweaks. The coolest one for me in that whole range is the multifoil.
The multifoil is great. What an interesting addition.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You guys
which
are bonkers.
Which is based on the old 80s PRS, because a lot of the old 80s ones came in some absolutely mental colours.
48 guitars between 1987 and 1988 in the multi-foil finish. They did them as custom 24s. Apparently, they're nice. Like the most sought-after PRS. I didn't actually know anything about them before this.
But how is it done?
So we should explain to listeners what the finish is, because I don't think anyone will know what multi-foil means.
Well, exactly. That's kind of my question as well. I can see a picture of it right now, but what I don't get is how they're doing it. So, yeah, describe it for us.
It looks like a guitar that is wrapped in multicolored tin foil.
Yep.
That is.
I'd say that's not a good description. I think it looks kind of like burnt marble.
It
looks like
browns, blues, and greys are the sort of colours involved here,
and reds. Kind of, there's a bit of red. Guess, in it. It looks almost like it's wrapped in tinfoil, and then it's kind of like sprayed different colours.
Sort of. This is hard to explain, actually, but I think it's cool. I like the finish. I think it's super unique, and I think it's amazing that it's available for like £900.
I wonder if it is unique. If each one is slightly different. Well,
yeah, I guess we have to sort of
I guess so. But it's basically, I think it's a way that they spray on the finish.
Yeah.
I guess it moves, which is why you get some of the black undercoat. So I guess like, if it's like oil based or water based, maybe they do all vary. Still, the only thing for me is I wish they had chrome pickup covers. I wish they were covered pickups. I just don't like the look of uncovered pickups. They look cheap to me.
Do you mean on the foil or do you mean across the board?
Across the board, which is the only one that does have the covered pickups at the moment, is the new Chris Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson.
Signature. Robertson, sorry, which has got a humbucker in the bridge and a P90 in the neck,
which
is very, very cool.
I didn't like any of his other signature models.
I don't like unmatched pickups.
Oh, right.
Oh, you're crazy.
That's weird. But there are some. There are two things that are definitely cooler than the multifoil mat.
Go on then.
All right, go.
Well, there's a 7-string. There's an SE 7-string.
Haven't they done 7s for a while? I thought they'd done these before.
Have they?
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
Yeah, I don't think this is the first. I'm pretty sure this isn't the first seven string they've done, because they've done seven strings before, because I remember playing one before. I think this is just like, I think this is like a line refresh with some updates, basically. But they've definitely done a seven before, because I remember the sevens and the baritones being together on a Stordas play once.
Oh, okay.
But so, it is quite cool. I like the name, though. The SESVN, I thought was quite cool.
The Sevsden.
The Sevsden. But yeah, that actually looks like a quite... Once again, I think that was the nice thing about the baritone, is that it's not aimed at metal players, because not all metal players want to play, or not all seven string players want to play metal. And I guess that's, you know, if you look at guys like Tosin Abasi, who's playing an eight string, even though he's playing, I don't know, progressive djent on it, if you look at loads of the demo videos, he's actually using much cleaner sounds on pretty much everything he's doing.
He is a I was going to say, he's a progressive djent playing progressive djent.
Yeah, he does look like a bit of a djent. He's always got like a turtleneck.
He doesn't. He looks like The Rock did in like the 90s.
If that classic photo of The Rock, if Tosin Abasi recreated that, that would be fantastic. With the bum bag and the roll neck, that would be awesome. So I think we're overall kind of positive about these new PRS SEs.
They sound cool.
We were talking earlier about just, you know, World Guitars and stuff, and how, to me, these are my favourite guitars coming out of World Guitars. I think the way they finish these is just such high quality. But they're also some of the cheaper guitars coming out of World Guitars, because they start at, what, $799?
Yeah. $799.
Which is pretty fantastic, really.
825 for the seven string.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Let's move on to some more news. Moore, one of our favourite micro pedal companies, have announced something else very small. The Little Tank D15.
Oh, man. Moore are fast becoming my favourite brand out there. The Little Tank D15, it is a modelling mini guitar. Head, you may have seen Ola. Well, I posted it on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. Ola England recently did a little video demo for it. I think this thing is really cool. It's a really interesting, unique shape.
It looks like one of the you know, the movie Tron. You know, when they're doing the light cycle bit and they've got those things, those like spaceships that come down and like try and stomp on the bikes. That's what the Little Tank 15 looks like.
That's a perfect description of what that amp looks like.
it's totally super cool, and it's kind of, I think it's filling an area of the market that I think is increasing, that people are looking for at the moment, which is, you know, extreme versatility in a small package aimed for sort of home use and people who want to try new things and record music on a sort of portable, you know, home recording studio thing. So the Little Tank 15 is a 15-watt portable, very small guitar head, and it's crammed full of like through effects, amp and cab simulators and things like that. So you get 25 amp models, 20 cabinet models, 10 modulations, 5 delays, 6 reverbs, and then like it's got some buttons on the front where you can build your own like patches, so you can have like quick recall patches, as well as it having sort of your standard like tonal rotary controls on the front, and then you've got 99 programmable presets. So those are all numbers that I think are pretty standard. You expect to hear these as soon as you hear sort of a digital modeling amp. But what I think is the coolest thing is that we're looking at a head here that's I don't know, not much bigger than, well, about the size of an interface.
You'd fit it in it. You'd What's fit it the, in the front pocket of your guitar bag.
Yeah,
yeah,
ish. It might be a
What's
bit
the
too
price
pointy.
On it?
I don't know yet. It's TBA at the moment. So I'm not
I think
sure.
The only thing it seems to be missing is some sort of foot switch, though. I just think it's a bit odd that it hasn't got like a foot switch to go between like A, B, C, and D.
Well, it is. It's a home use thing.
It's not gigging amp, really, is it?
It's 15 watts.
No,
it's
but even if you've got a line watts. 6 amp at home, you've got, you know, clean, metal, crunch and ultra, you still want to be able to go 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, maybe there will be something that you can do with it. I mean, one thing that it is Bluetooth capable.
Okay.
I mean, the idea of that is for you to be able to play audio back through external devices.
Oh wait, so it's not Bluetooth in, so you can like play along?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, fine. But it's, is it also Bluetooth out?
No.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. That's, I thought that's how Joe was describing it.
Oh, right. I didn't realise that was two things.
Well, you've got Bluetooth in, like uh-huh. a Bluetooth speaker.
Right.
And then Bluetooth out is... Uh-huh. So that something you can
I thought there was just I thought it was just Bluetooth or not Bluetooth.
That is the question.
Yeah.
Bluetooth or not Bluetooth?
Anyway, I think it's question. Totally cool. It's with all things Moore, it's not going to be a lot of money. I mean, this company are absolutely knocking out the park at the moment with their Helix competition that they announced, you know, last week or the week before. We did talk about that.
We
on
did.
Here,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you know,
the red truck.
With the red truck, which was kind of a sort of Tech 21 style.
I'd really like to see a red truck before we do Gear of the Year.
I think we might be able to.
I just think everything this company are doing are great. And, you know, they're continuing to make really good sort of mini pedals all the time. All their new announcements are always great.
That's the thing. And I think Moore are a company who people should really be looking up to, because obviously when they first started... their business was kind of built on, you know, I don't want to use the word copies. That's maybe not completely fair, but they were copying other people's pedals and making them.
We just talked about the red truck. And making them, they sort of still are.
Well, yeah, sure, but they are, things are changing and they are moving into producing stuff like this and whatever the Helix copy, you know, I realise that we are.
Yeah.
But they're moving into creating stuff that is a bit... And, of course, the Devin Townsend thing, the Ocean Machine. They're making some cool-looking stuff. I do hope that they're able to springboard into becoming... A real company isn't the right word, but, like, you know, someone who starts making real innovative, interesting products. And I do think that stuff like the Ocean Machine and the Little Tank are an indicator of that.
Yeah.
They're also, Joe's just looking at the website now, they also make something called the Hornet Black.
Which is a 15 watt combo. Just, I mean, that's really good.
Can you have a look at the details on that? They've actually
I mean, the thing I'm most excited about, they've put out a multi-effects called the CL100, which is a Chinese only release. Okay. So,
that's some rare stuff. That's the real good stuff.
Yeah, I know. So the entire digital screen and all the writing on it is kanji. So, I want to get this. Yeah,
let's get
absolutely
one.
Absolutely.
So the Hornet Black is a 15 watt modeling combo.
Yeah,
it's basically like your entry level. Okay, but they are releasing a lot of stuff. Like I'd never even heard of this with the D15, the little tank. I do wonder. To me, it seems like they're marketing it in the wrong way. What it should actually be is a home recording unit. You know, a desktop recording unit like a pod. That's also got a 15 watt amp that you can plug into a little cab. Because calling it a guitar amp, I don't really know what the use is. You're not going to gig it. You probably, there's better options for, you know, a 15 watt amp to have at home. They should kind of be pushing it as something that's sat next to your PC that you have plugged in via. Has it got USB recording out?
No.
That's
why I think it's missing just a couple of like vital bits.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
They're calling it an amp on the go, and that's why I was saying it's strange that they've got no foot switch.
Yeah,
because it's like you're stuck to one model, so you can create loads of presets. I think the best thing they've done, and I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not, is the radar, the speaker cab simulator.
Yeah,
which has actually got a tiny color screen on it, but perfect for just like sitting on a pedal board next to one of those preamp pedals.
Definitely.
They made.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd like to see one. I would love it if, cause it looks so cool. Like it's got a real 80s vibe to it with that big, like, you know, monochromatic screen on there. So it'd be a cool thing to have sat on your desk next to your PC. Cool. But
the other thing that they do that Matt got his panties in a twist about last week was, their ES8 killer.
Oh, the L6.
Yeah.
Which you've got on one of your pedal boards because you're a traitor to the Boss family.
Yeah, exactly. So they've released like a little six loop. It's very simple. Like it's, you know, you can turn on or off the pedals that are in
each of
those loops.
It's not doing what the ES8 or even the ES5 does.
No, exactly. But at the same, it's £130.
Gear of the Year, if you ask me.
I've got a feeling someone might object.
It's the most affordable. It's the most affordable pedal switcher, and unlike the ES series, actually fits on
from
a pedal
Gibson.
Train. Yeah. But it actually fits on the new Novo size pedal trains.
Well, the ES8 will fit on a board.
Yeah, it will fit on a board, but you have to get the classic pedal trains.
Yeah, that's fine.
For it to fit the new
What's
series
wrong with
of
the
pedal trains.
Because coming from the man who has, how many pedals did you say you have the other day?
Oh, I don't know.
Wasn't it 63 or something?
Yeah. It was around that. Yeah, I did a count up. It was 60 something. That are all those are
now
like offboard.
He's worrying about space.
But I was just trying to. I realised I was looking around and I was like, oh man. So I've got all my pedals that I'm using on a Pedal Train Junior, and I was like, but I also have, a Pedal Train like Novo 32 that I'm sort of using as a table. And I've got like a
what?
Yeah, and I've got like a I've got the Pedal Train 2.
Yeah.
As well, and I've got like a Nano. I was like, I should make some boards. But, you know, on the Novo, I think it was the Novo 32 I was using. I needed, like, it's got that little run at the front. It is so annoying. The Novo size is awful. Pedal Train are idiots for making this, because they've gone, yeah, we're going to redo all our pedal boards so that they're not quite three rungs, they're two, but they've got like half an extra one. Because what they were thinking is, whoever's designing these for them is you know, living in 1992 when the only pedal switching option was an octa switch, so
it's got that
it's literally designed for like an octa switch, because that's the only pedal switcher I can think of that runs that's slim enough.
Oh, right,
for that,
okay,
sort of,
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
None of the ES8s will work on the ES8, the ES5s, the MS3s are too deep for that first rung, so you can't get three rows deep on those.
Right.
So the only thing you can use is the octa switch. But of course now the Moore, which is £130, which makes it a very, very affordable switcher.
So you're basically putting a loop switcher which you can plug six pedals into on a board that will fit many more pedals than that.
Yes, but you know, you never turn on just one, do you? You're going to have sort of.
Well, surely you need them all plugged into it, though.
Yeah, but I can plug
in loops.
I can make a loop.
Sure. Yeah.
This is my compression loop.
Yeah, exactly. I have two compressors.
Yeah, one for the highs and one for the lows.
Exactly.
God, it's all lows with you, Joe Brandon. It's all lows. Anyway, let's move on. Let's cram in a bit more news. Dr. Z have announced a brand new Z Plus 1x12 combo.
Yeah, I watched a really cool little video with the doc himself explaining this. He has he wanted to make a really, really hi-fi clean amp. And I mean, a lot of this sort of stuff goes a little bit over my head when it comes to showing the inside of an amp, which is what he was doing. But he was explaining it, and he says that it is way more hi-fi than anything else on the market at the moment. So super, super clean, extreme headroom. It looks fantastic. I mean, it's super, super simple. 1x12. Little three-band EQ. One of the things that I absolutely loved in the video was him explaining that he was explaining that he has put a buffer in the effects return.
Okay.
And he was really, really tiptoeing around the fact that a lot of people won't be into that. Okay. And a lot of people will want... He was like, you know, because... The thing is, depending on the length of the cables that you're using, you will get a little bit of sound degradation. So I've just put that in there it takes pedals really well, but you know, the send isn't buffered. It's just the return, because right. I do find that a lot of people are using quite long cables, and it just the sound just starts to... Basically, what he's saying is he doesn't like true bypass,
yeah,
and therefore he is my hero. he was just saying, like, listen, I'm putting a buffer on my amp because I don't want you using true bypass pedals, 100 foot's worth of cable, degrading the sound, and then complaining that my amp doesn't sound any good. Doc, you're my hero.
Good.
But no, this sounds really, really cool. I watched a video of someone playing it. Sounds fantastic. Single-ended, Class A. Yeah, really nice. Just two 6v6s, 15 watts, switchable down to 7.5. What else was there on there? You could have a choice between a Z12 speaker or an Alnico Blue. That I thought was quite interesting, because obviously the whole thing with the Alnico Blues is they drive at a much lower volume.
Yeah.
So why would you put an Alnico Blue in an amp that's super hi-fi with loads of headroom? If what you're wanting is just mountains and mountains of clarity, why then put a speaker in that's going to drive a little bit earlier?
They're also a bit more kind of edgy in the top end as well, though. So if you want something perhaps a bit more spiky sounding,
I suppose.
Maybe you just don't want totally smooth. Maybe you want almost like more what you get from the cleaner Voxes, you know, a higher headroom Vox, you know, where you get that cleaner tone, the more jangle, but it's got a bit of kind of high-end rasp to it.
Right. Yeah,
I actually
maybe.
Thought one of the coolest features was that you could have it in two different cab sizes.
Yeah, that was another thing that he said. So he's got his classic classic sort of 1x12 size, and then also a slightly smaller studio size 1x12, which he said he prefers the sound of. He thinks that actually sounds better slightly.
Right, okay.
He's also tweaked the reverb slightly, making it a bit more lush and splashy. But yeah, I have to say, Dr. Z, you've had a few Z amps over your time, haven't you, Matty?
I have indeed.
Yeah, and Dan Grace, friend of the podcast, he's got one. I've never really paid a huge amount of attention, and actually, I think this is very, very cool.
They have been making great amps for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And the Maz, which is the one, I've had a couple of those, and they are great sound. They're very, very bright sounding amps, but they do cater very much to that sort of country, sort of super clean, sort of twangy sound, unless you go down the route of going for one of their Marshall-esque amps. But the first one I ever tried was the Route 66, which I think's got two KT66s in it. And if I remember rightly, it was just like, it had such an insane amount of headroom, super, super loud. Because it was like JTM 45 style, like clean front end, but you just have to crank it all the way for like maximum gain. But it was like 32 watts. So trying to crank that up to full is just like super loud.
Yeah, that's, powerful.
Mm.
Definitely.
This was also just worth noting, Joe Walsh had a hand in designing this.
Oh, right, okay. Presumably the Eagles guitar player, not the right-wing conservative political commentator.
No. Yeah, okay. It was him. Yeah, yeah. Right, okay, at Walsh Freedom or whatever his name is.
Yeah, good. Glad to know. I'm glad he's really come around to the guitar world. So.
But yeah, also, as an aside, I was when I was watching this video, Maddie, my girlfriend, was sat next to me. She was like, "This is the most Ohio man I've ever heard in my life." And I looked, and he is from Ohio.
Wow, she could judge just by the accent. Yeah. Right, okay. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty impressive. Before we wrap up, let's dive into a big old box of
questions.
Hang on.
That was poor.
That was not good.
That was substandard.
All right.
I think you should lead him up again.
Dive into a big old sack of
questions. I could keep going. We need to actually podcast.
The face you were pulling was very weird.
It was
it?
Awful.
It was. It was really? Like Farage-esque.
Ooh.
Yeah,
you had a real asymmetrical mouth. Please don't do that again.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Never, ever, ever do that again.
All right.
Connor says, "Is it blasphemy to add a tone control to my Mark Hoppus bass?" Joe Branton.
Oh well, I mean, do you need one? Are you going to roll off any tone on a bass? Really? Like, I mean, unless you're playing Stax or Motown, which you know, I do and really enjoy that, and I think rolling off the tone control is great for that. But if you've bought a Mark Hoppus in the first place, you're probably not playing any Stax or Motown. So, I don't know, man. The less controls you have on a bass, the better. Like, if...
I agree.
I think anything you could do on the bass, you could do on your amp head. So just do it there.
And also, I don't think the pickup that's in there will sound very good with the tone rolled off.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. It's a Seymour Duncan quarter pounder.
It is.
So a hugely sort of like really accentuated lows, really accentuated highs. Like it's sort of a naturally scooped an aggressive pickup anyway. I probably wouldn't.
I don't think that's a fully accurate description, because I actually don't think the highs are that pushed on that. I think it's like an upper mid that's actually pushed.
You're right.
There's not much in the kind of lower mid, and what will happen is if you put a tone controller, I think it'll just sound really veiled. Like it'll just sound, it won't actually sound more bassy. It'll just sound like wrong, I think.
You sound like an audiophile.
Veiled is a term. So veiled is like a headphone term, which I've obviously know a bit about now. But that does kind of accurate.
Working for Stag.
Yeah, no, exactly. Stag headphones. Buy them now. That would accurately describe what a tone control on a bass like or a pickup like that would do. I think it would just sound a bit not there. I don't think you'd get what you want out of it.
I think maybe if Connor's thinking that would help him, if he was thinking rolling off some tone would help, then it's actually probably that pickup is super aggressive and it is quite difficult to work with. I have one in my 50s reissue P bass, and you have to know how to use it, and I really like it now, but it took me a long time. I put it in there thinking it was the answer and really struggled with it for a while, just because it was hard to clean up. But I actually think if it's not that, if it's that you want some really soupy tones, then keep that pickup in, put a set of flat rounds on, and that's actually exactly what Roger Waters uses, a quarter pounder and flat rounds.
I hadn't thought about that before, but maybe
for that sort of Pink Floyd tone. If you want that sort of thing, a set of flats and a quarter pounder is a great mix.
I hate to say it, that the quarter pounder is probably my least favourite like standard bass pickup.
It's strange because it's probably the most popular.
Yeah, totally. I think that's because it's been in the Mark Hoppus people have
and the Roger Waters, like, and loads of others as well. But there are essentially three main ones in the Seymour Duncan line: the SPB 1, 2, and 3. Three is the quarter pounder. The one is their vintage reissue.
Yep.
And the two is their vintage hot. And I actually think the SPB 2. Is probably the best one to go for.
Definitely.
Because the SPB 1, they say it's the vintage pickup. What they mean is it's just the weakest. Like, I don't especially find the SPB 1 vintage voiced in comparison to other brands doing the same thing. It's just like, it's just a standard pickup.
Yeah.
Whereas the 2 has kind of enough of those, like, those low mids and those, that sort of woody P bass vintage vibe to it, with like enough aggression to make it versatile enough to use for traditional stuff and modern stuff. The problem with the 1 is it can't do modern stuff, and the problem with the 3 is that it can't do vintage stuff.
Yeah, so the two for me is my favourite one they make because of that. I think it's a real good all rounder, and if you're looking to do a bit more with the Mark Hoppus bass to get something that, you know, you like that body shape, you like that neck, but you're finding that, you know, maybe you like Blink 182 back in the day, the pickup itself now is not suiting a wider range of stuff that you want to do, probably adding a tone control is not going to make the difference. Changing the pickup probably would make the difference, and then you could maybe add a tone control down the line.
Yeah.
Is it blasphemy to do it? Yeah, it probably is. I would say so. With that, we should wrap this episode up. We are up at time. We are obviously going to go over to the Patreon episode and talk about some more stuff, answering more of your questions, but mainly we kind of picked a main topic, a question from Robin about buying the hype. Things that have been hyped up either by us or by stores or by reviews, things where we felt very excited about a product, we've all been on board with it, and we've realised down the line hasn't really worked out. Robin's got a list of things that he's moved on after buying into hype. Not from us, I should say.
I took this very personally.
No, the list of things that he actually talked about are not things that we've hyped, so I felt vindicated.
Well, there you go then. You should have been listening to us then, shouldn't you, mate?
Exactly. But there were other people in the comments who said, Gitanas love this, and I got hyped about it, and then I had to move it on. But, you know, it's all subjective. So we're going to go
subjective. It's all about picking up paychecks from those brands.
Well, exactly. Oh, I love the dollar.
We spend... think about how much time we spend with Joe Branton. Like, you can't trust us for having good judgment.
Exactly. We see him almost every week.
Exactly. And I drink vodka through my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. You talk about good judgment. So we're going to go and talk about that on the Patreon episode. Patreon.com.
The vodka thing.
Exactly. Drinking vodka through your eyes. I've got a story about that, actually. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. It's worth from as little as $1 a month. You can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. At the $5 tier, you get the regular episode ad-free and early. Plus, you get an extra half an hour of content every week. Plus, you get access to the mini-series like Matt in Japan, where Matt talks about his travel log and his time in Japan. Plus, Branton's Rant On, where Joe talks about things that he hates. New series coming very, very soon. And you also get access to some exclusive interviews and other bits and pieces. And at the $10 tier, you get your name read out like these people have.
Is it one breath or not?
You can do it in one breath, but we're just sorting out the backing track. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Derek Fitzer, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Blake Moyle, Jack Gray, Chris Willows, Antoine, Troy, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Norman, Rob John, Derek Lynch, Chris Collins, Andy Joyce, Carlos Manchester, Michael Blair, Tom's Mark, Cross, Matt Payne, Sandy Scott, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Townsend, Jack Coffey, Paul Corrigan, Matt Quine, Winter, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Moe Corrigan, Colin Anderson!
So much breath. Imagine if someone just, if you were listening to this on speakers and someone walked into the room right now.
Probably didn't need to talk in such a quick and weird way, really, did he?
No, probably could have actually, these people pay for this privilege, so he probably could have actually read their names out clearly and succinctly. Look how much breath he's got. It's weird.
That's one of the little known side effects about drinking booze through your eyes.
Blimey.
Have you ever considered free diving?
I nearly passed out then.
God, I wish you would. I wish you would. If you were going to go and actually record Joe passing out, which you can see on the Instagram @GuitarNerds and on Twitter @GuitarNerds. If you want to join in the conversation, you can facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerds forum. You can also go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GuitarNerds videos. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peace and love.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.